ECJ Radio International. This is PCJ Radio International. It's 14:30 UTC. This is Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. I'm Andy Sinnott. Coming up on this edition, Australia's political parties face voting figures challenge. The Indonesian government introduces new measures to reassure investors in Southeast Asia's largest economy. And foreigners call the holy Indian city Varanasi home. The Australian opposition Liberal Party has launched its official electoral campaign. Leader Tony Abbott set out his vision for the next decade. Stronger budgets and borders, lower taxes, and more jobs. But there was little detail on how it would be delivered. Nevertheless, he said there would be no excuses and no nasty surprises. Voting is compulsory in Australia, but the electoral authorities acknowledge that up to 20% of eligible voters are not doing so. Informal or invalid voting is also on the rise. With the September 7th election just a week away, the figures are a significant challenge to the country's major political parties. Catherine McGrath reports.
Australia has compulsory voting, and this country prides itself in being a robust democracy. But around 20% of voters don't vote, or vote incorrectly, and their ballot isn't counted. For the young, the figures are even worse. 25% of eligible young voters didn't sign up for this probe. The Australian Electoral Commission that administers the system has published voting figures that show 1 in 5 eligible voters didn't do so in the last election. Its research shows 1.5 million people were not enrolled, 900,000 were enrolled but didn't vote last time, and nearly 750,000 votes for the House of Representatives were informal, so they didn't count. Expert in the Australian electoral system, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Melbourne, Ju Chiong Tam, says it's a growing problem that does impact on Australian democracy.
It's concentrated among the young. So we're talking about people are coming into the political process, reaching adulthood, actually, for one reason or another, disengaged from the political process. I think this is a set of issues that at the very least deserves serious consideration, and I think there should be much more public concern about that. So I think there's an aspect about the spirit of democracy not being as enlivened as it should be. And the other one, of course, is that there's actually high levels of public disenchantment with politics as it is right now, in particular with the major political parties. But I do have some expertise in terms of the regulation of elections in Australia.
In Canberra to discuss the Australian electoral system, Ju Chiong says there's much to admire in this country's system, but there are questions to be asked about the political process.
I think the parties themselves are, in some ways, are facing a crisis. I mean, the other part about the spirit of democracy not being as robust is really they're facing declining levels of membership, you know. And we're talking, in terms of proportion, they're basically at historically low levels. And I think one thing the parties have to do is really become more vibrant democratic institutions, much better at involving the members, and also much better in involving the supporters.
Thanks for your support.
Thanks, mate. No, we're going to be there for the long haul.
Like most elections around the world, policy is focused on local subjects. Occasionally, international issues are mentioned. The opposition is promising to bring its foreign aid focus to the Pacific region.
But I want us to be the partner of choice for countries in the Pacific. With our great friends in New Zealand, I believe it's time for us to change the nature of our engagement in the Pacific.
Aid expert Professor Stephen Harris from the Australian National University believes the opposition would introduce some changes to aid funding if elected.
The aid program is already still focused on the Asia Pacific, but if they come in, they will, I think, take funding away from Africa and away from Latin America and the Caribbean. It's a small amount, but they'll nevertheless remove it and put those funds into the Asia Pacific. You might also see a lower portion of funds going to multilateral sort of global organizations such as the UN, and again that funding being directed into bilateral programs with our Pacific and Asian neighbors.
The current government has significantly increased the foreign aid budget, but it's also recently delayed future spending commitments and diverted around $700 million from the aid budget to help fund asylum seekers being held in Australia. A recent poll showed Australians concerned about the country's debt favour cutting foreign aid as a way of reducing government spending.
The Indonesian government has unveiled a raft of emergency measures to revive confidence in Southeast Asia's largest economy. The nation has been battered on several fronts as foreign capital has left on the expectation of an improvement in the United States. Helen Brown has a story from Jakarta.
It's been a moment of harsh reality for Indonesia. Not that long ago, it was a global darling. Now it has a weakening currency, rising inflation, and a growing trade deficit. And ministers, business, and the central bank have stepped up to reassure markets the country is serious about tackling the problems. The coordinating minister for the economy, Hadi Rajasa, led a press conference to explain the moves.
The government and Bank of Indonesia are paying close attention to the development of the economy, and the government is fully aware of the impact.
The uncertainty about when the US Federal Reserve will start winding back its stimulus program comes at a bad time for Indonesia. Last quarter, it ran up a current account deficit of almost $10 billion. The gap in the sum of the trade balance and investment income is creating nervousness. Indonesia says it's going to tackle that by encouraging further local growth that encourages exports, putting in tax breaks, reducing costly oil imports, and halving the tax on some luxury goods. The finance minister, Khatib Basri, says the government's determined to bring the deficit down.
We are in every step to improve the structural problem in the current account deficit. And, you know, as I always said, bad times makes good policy. And this is the proof that bad time really goes with a good policy.
The central banks also made announcements introducing several new policies to keep more US dollars circulating in the system. Last week, it watched as the already volatile currency, the rupiah, dropped to a four-year low. And the share market took another battering. Stocks have fallen almost 20% since May. Bank Indonesia's new governor, Agus Martowardoyo, says the policies will help steady sentiment.
I welcome the policies, and I promised the government that I would keep coordinating and providing input both for the central and local government so that the macro economy will be stabilized.
The government is also apparently loosening the import quotas on beef and some fruit and vegetables, in a bid to curb price rises, which are pushing up inflation. The quotas have been blasted as protectionist and also caused a dramatic cut to Australia's beef exports. There's still not much detail on what exactly will change, though. It's the kind of detail the markets will be looking for this week.
The ancient city of Varanasi is known as the religious capital of India. It's here that many come to die, as they believe their deaths lead to salvation from the rebirth cycle. Many foreigners have also made the holy city their home. Murali Krishnan reports.
The crowded streets and chaos is everywhere when one enters Varanasi. Traveling to the old city could be more problematic. It's a maze of buildings, temples, and narrow streets, teeming with thousands of pilgrims and tourists, many who go to the Ghats, or steps leading to the Ganges River to take their holy dead. Varanasi is one of those cities which claim to be the world's oldest continuously inhabited cities, along with Hebron, Jerusalem, and Damascus. And looking at the town, battered and crumbling, with antiquated infrastructure, it's not hard to believe. Apart from the regular rush of pilgrims, this seat of Hinduism has also its fair share of Westerners. They have been so much inspired by Indian culture that many of them have made Varanasi their home.
Varanasi of 40 plus years ago is an entirely different Varanasi to the one we have today. There is a peculiarity about Varanasi. It's a kind of laid-back, carefree life people used to live or lead here. Varanasi was supposed to be a seat of learning, ancient seat of learning.
Christopher Bouchard, originally from the UK, has been living here for nearly 40 years. When he came here as a youth for a holiday, He stayed back, married an Indian, and now has grandchildren. Many say the city's spiritual heritage has left a deep impact on the minds of foreigners. Push it again.
When I first came here, maybe I didn't imagine or even conceive of staying here for a lifetime. Quite honestly, it has been my home for 37 years. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Those who stay here say Varanasi offers the kind of freedom, both artistic and religious, which no other Indian city offers. Some foreigners have learned Sanskrit, military and scholarly language, practice learning the tabla, the Indian percussion instrument, or picking up Hindustani classical music. So does Varanasi offer so much that foreigners from all over the world want to come here. Paul Drusma is from Australia.
I mean, there are so many things. I mean, of course, it's the River Ganga, and it's a very special river and has this reverence by all the people, Hindu people and other people. It's just an enjoyable place to be in for a Westerner. It's so vibrant and colourful. Sometimes I explain to my friends it's like a 24-hour circus here. You know, there's so much going on in the markets, and the old city is beautiful. I say to people, you could spend 3 years walking the old city and you would never find every niche, and you would never find every Shiva Lingam, because there are so many.
But despite its spiritual appeal and being one of the most visited pilgrimages of the world, Varanasi has over the years fallen to neglect. Despite the relevance of the location for Hindus, environmentalists for years have tried to stop the religious rites from being carried out on the Ganges River. Remains of burnt corpses are scattered about the river, whether they are fully cremated or not. Commercialization of religion too has become rampant. Mr. Burchett mourns this fact.
The Banaras from 40 years ago was something else. Today it's highly commercialized, and even the spirituality you might find here, from my perspective, it is highly commercialized.
Even Bindendra Potter, a philanthropist who runs a few charities in Varanasi, believes that the city is a magnet only for select foreigners.
They must be a spiritual person. Commercial person cannot stay in Varanasi. So those who have spiritual frequencies, certainly they would like to come and settle here, because this place is totally holy, and you will find spiritual persons, learned people. You can talk to them. The moment you sit the Ganga Ghat, and you get some vibration, some divinity coming from above. So that type of persons only can maybe settle here.
Despite the many problems that plague the city, it still has a draw for foreigners and will continue to play a large role in the religious practices of Hindus, especially those in search of deliverance.
And with that story from Murali Krishnan, we've come to the end of this edition of Focus Asia Pacific. For more on the region, check out our website, www.pcjmedia.com/FAP. For PCJ Radio International, I'm Andy Sennett. Now stay tuned for the Happy Station Show.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two bombs. SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives out.
Keith Powell here from PCJ Radio International. Are you looking for a new portable shortwave receiver? Well, if you are, I would like to suggest Texan. Texan is one of the world's leading manufacturers of shortwave radios. Popular radios like the PL660, S2000, and so many more. Texan radios can be found at a number of fine electronic retailers worldwide. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Texan banner for more information on all their models. Texan, enjoy broadcasting.
This is the sound of PCJ. Oh.
PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show. The Lucky Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pahon. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. It's very nice to be with you once again. As you're probably aware, the last show that we did was August the 4th, and then we took a three-week break, but now we're back. The three-week break is because I needed to take some time off to do some other things that I'm involved with. Now, the show did continue. The version for our partner station, that is, but we weren't here on shortwave on Sundays from 13:30 to 14:30 UTC, but we're now here again. So you can say this is the beginning of the new season. Well, for us anyway. And we have a lot of things to get to on today's show. Many things to get to, and I hope that we have enough time to get to every single one. So I think I should stop talking right now and play our first piece of music today. Now, this may sound a little bit unusual, but we've had people before requesting some strange thing. They want to hear some Chinese music that they, you know, probably weren't aware of. And we actually had an email that came in about 6 weeks ago from someone who listens to us in, let me get here, in Hong Kong. He's from the United Kingdom. His name is Simon. And he's been listening to us on Sundays. And he said, I'd heard that there's something called swing music that was made here in China. Well, actually, not really China. It was actually, well, that's not true. There was swing and big band music in China in the 1930s, mainly in Shanghai. But it wasn't really well known throughout Asia. And he asked if we can play some. Well, I decided to play for you something from Taiwan. Her name is, in Chinese, Ge Lan. That's Ge Lan. Now, she was originally born in Beijing, studied Beijing opera music, and then her family moved to Taiwan in 1949, and she gave up singing Chinese folk music and Beijing opera and decided to go towards swing and jazz. In many parts of Asia, Ge Lan is called the Chinese version of Doris Day. And she was extremely popular here in Taiwan in the 1950s, and also in Hong Kong because she made a number of movies in Hong Kong, and that's where she lives today. She actually lives in Hong Kong today and is still very busy, in fact. She's also one of the first Chinese singers to appear on American television. Her English name is Grace Chang. And she appeared on the Dinah Shore Show in the 1950s, as well as some other popular American variety shows. So here is for you a little sample of some Chinese jazz. Here's Ge Lan, otherwise known as Grace Chang. Now, I'm not going to introduce the song, because I want to see how many of you know what it is.
你在风要浪了大大 你在不要真的哭，你在不要。 king to my value down. Your baby won't leave me behind. I tell me, I tell me, I come to wait for you down.
Chinese singer Galan with a song, actually, that is very well known, especially in the English world, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. But if you know, you can write us, and, well, maybe you'll win something. You know, you never know. Anyway, now time to go into our mailbag. All right, we actually have quite a few to get to. Unfortunately, as I said before, we can't get to every single one. Now, a lot of people wrote in concerning the last transmission that we did, which was August the 4th. Because partway through the transmission, the signal went dead. Everything just stopped. And a lot of people were wondering, well, what happened? Because it came back around 12 minutes later. Well, at our relay station in Trincomalee, in Sri Lanka, there was a power outage, and the generators had to kick in. So that's what the problem with that was. But I want to say a special thank you to the engineers at Trincomalee. Hello, you guys at Trincomalee. Thank you for doing a marvelous job, as always, and getting us back on the air just a few minutes later. So that's what happened on that date. So it wasn't anything major. You know, and this kind of thing does happen. Sometimes when I listen to the Voice of America, and even the BBC World Service, occasionally, sometimes the signal will just drop. You know, and there could be a power outage. And especially right now in Sri Lanka, it's monsoon season, and there's a lot of very heavy weather, so that, you know, is one of the key causes. Pretty much the same kind of thing here in Taiwan that we see as well. You know, it's interesting because since we did our last program, we have had 3 typhoons. And we had another one this past week, which brought us a tremendous amount of rain. It wasn't a full typhoon like the first one that we saw this year. It was going to be a typhoon, then it changed into a tropical storm, so it wasn't really too bad. So, this kind of thing happens, and there's nothing we can do about it, but I'm glad that you stayed with us for the remainder of the show. And some people are wondering, is it possible to hear that show again? Well, actually, we did broadcast that show that we did from Washington, D.C., for our partner stations. So if you go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and click on the Happy Station Show, you'll find it there. So if you missed that 12 minutes and want to find out what Larry and I talked about, just go and check it out. Now time to say hello to some listeners. First to Hiroyuki Nanoto, who lives in Chibaken, Japan. Hello to you. Hello to our good friend. Unfortunately, I have to dig it out, which is my silly fault. hello to Jawahar Armidal, who lives in Goa, India. Thank you very much for your letter. And it did take a few weeks for us to get to it. We only got it about 2 weeks ago, and you should have already had a reply already. Hello to our good friend Suchi, who lives in the United States. To Kayoshi Farukta, who lives in Hagoya, Japan, in Senda City. And we had one here that really surprised me, but it was a listener in Bulgaria who lives in the capital, Sofia, and his name is Ruman Pankov. Well, thank you very much for your letter, and we already replied to you. And also to Yukihiro Yosai, who lives in Miyagi in Japan. Now, those were just some of the letters. Of course, we can't mention every single one. But I should mention, by the way, that everybody that we did receive a reply for, especially since August 4th, and the ones before, we cleared through the backlog. So all of you should have our QSL card. What is the QSL card going to be for September? Well, I have no idea. You'll have to, you know, write us and find out, and I'll give all that information towards the end of the program. I also want to say hello to Jörg Clemens Hoffman in Germany, to Mr. Chiba, who lives in Iwate, Japan, to Mr. Takuroji Sahara, who lives in Tokyo, and also to our good friend, Eddie Setawan. Thank you very much, and we also replied to you, because I think Victor already did reply to you. I'm just reading it here, and he already did reply, and you mentioned actually the transmission where the signal went off, so hopefully it won't happen again, and if it does happen, well, you can think about it this way. That means you have a little break from listening to me moan and drone. You can go get a drink, glass of water, cup of coffee, make a nice cup of tea, and then come back a few minutes later, and there we'll be again. Anyway, like I said, these things do happen. Now, if you want to get in touch with us, no, let's give that out in a moment. I think we should have some music first, and then we'll give out the Pulse address. Now, we're going to take a listen to a song from a fascinating documentary. It's called Searching for Sugar Man. It's a documentary that's won a number of awards around the world, and it features the music of Rodriguez. And he's from the city of Detroit in the United States. And back in the early 70s and late 60s, he recorded two albums. They didn't do anything on the pop charts. And all of a sudden, somebody got a copy in South Africa. And the album became extremely popular in South Africa. And was so for many, many, many years. Nobody knew anything about Rodriguez. And then two people who were fans of his music decided to search for him, because they heard things that he committed suicide, that he died, and all kinds of other, you know, silly nonsense stories. But they located him, and he did some tours in South Africa that were very successful. And all of a sudden, after more than 30 years of these two albums that he did, which are fantastic, he became a recognized musician. So we're going to take a listen now to one of the songs that he did from the first album called Crucify Your Mind. Here's Rodriguez.
Was it a huntsman or a player that made you pay the cost? That now assumes relaxed positions and prostitutes your loss. Were you tortured by your own thirst in those pleasures that you seek? That made you Tom the Curious, that makes you James the Weak. That crucifies your mind, so convince your mirror as you've always done before, giving substance to shadows, giving substance evermore. And you assume you got something to offer. Secret shining in you. But how much of you is repetition that you didn't whisper to him too?
Singer-songwriter Rodriguez with a great song called Crucify Your Mind that was only released once, never did anything except for in South Africa, but now you can hear those most famous songs from the soundtrack to the film Searching for Sugar Man. All right, now, if you want to get in touch with us, this is the ways that you can do so. First, of course, by email, and the email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Or you can write us, PCJ Radio International, care of Happy Station Show, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, 22070, Taiwan, ROC. And I'll say it again a little bit slower. PCJ Radio International, care of Happy Station Show, 8th floor, 8th floor, number 47, number 47, Lane 31, Lane 31, Sanmin Road. And you spell Sanmin, S-A-N like Norman, I like Ivan, N like Norman Road, Sanmin Road, Section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, and that's B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Banqiao. The postal code is 22070, Taiwan, R-O-C. So we'd love to hear from you. What QSL card we will have for the month of September, I have no idea. But if you write us, Victor and I will come up with something nice. So if you send us an email copy, an email that is, of course, you'll get an e-version of it. If you send us a reception report or letter or music request by snail mail, you'll get the printed version as well as some other things tossed inside the envelope. You never know what it can be, right? So do write us right away. Now, I want to take a moment to tell you about a new contest that we're going to have here, and we have a fantastic prize for it. As you're probably aware, radio stations around the world have slogans, right, for shows and or even the station itself. And we were thinking maybe we should come up with one. But then I thought, how about we leave it in the capable hands of our listeners? That's right, you know, because it's for, you know, you guys make us, you know, so I think we, you know, you should be involved in some of the decisions that we make here. So I think an idea to come up with a slogan should be in the hands of the listeners. So this is how it's going to work. If you have a good idea for a slogan, or one or two or three, you can send as many as you want. Send it to us by email with your name and a few details about yourself to the following email address. Slogan, S-L-O-G-A-N, at pcjmedia.com. That's slogan, S-L-O-G-A-N, at pcjmedia.com. You can also set up by snail mail with the address that I just gave a moment ago as well. So what we're going to do, we're going to collect all of these, all right? And then we're going to come up with the top five. When we come up with the top five, we're going to have it posted at the PCJ website. And then you, the listener, that's right, you listening right now, can choose which one is your favorite. And then we will contact the winner, and guess what they'll get? They're going to win a Texan S2000 receiver. The person whose slogan we finally decide to use will receive a Texan S2000 receiver. So once again, the email address is slogan, that's S-L-O-G-A-N, at pcjmedia.com. And if you want to send a few, go right ahead. You know, sure, it's open. And we're going to announce what the first five are, the selection. We cut it down to for the first five in November. And then we will have the poll to choose which one is the winner, and then announce the winner in the month of December. All right? So do send that off to us right away. Time now for more music, and when we come back, we have something special. A special treat for you. A visit from our good friend, Bob Zanotti. But first, here's Frank Sinatra in The Look of Love.
I've seen the looks of a baby with a rattle. I've seen the look of a hero in a battle. I've seen the look of a heartsick turtle dove. But the look that leaves you real shook is the look of love. I've seen the look of a jockey on a winner. I've seen the look of a fat man having dinner. I've seen the look of those spacemen up above. How about the look that closes the book is the look of love. It's thunder, it's lightning, the gentlest breeze. It's friendly, it's frightening, and the more surprising than an elephant's sneeze. I've seen the look every single blushing bride has. I've seen the look that the fellow by her side has. But there's one look that I give my life to see. We are locked in a wondrous embrace, and there on that fabulous face is that fabulous look of love. But there's one look that I give my life to see. We are locked in a tremendous embrace, and there on that fabulous face is that fabulous look of love for me. That's what I want to see. That book is locked for me.
The chairman of the board, Mr. Frank Sinatra, and The Look of Love. Now, I suppose when I said the song title, The Look of Love, many of you were thinking of the song by Burt Bacharach. That was a big hit for Dusty Springfield. No, a different one. This one is, very different. Not even the same song at all. Different composers, different arrangement, different sound completely. All right, now, before we took a listen to that, I said Bob Zanotti is going to be joining us now for a little series that we're going to run. Let me first ask you a question. How many of you remember the name game on Swiss Radio International? Well, guess what? We're going to have the name game right here on this program. So, to bring us the first installment of the name game, and you have to guess what place they're talking about, and I'll give out the email address later on in the program. So sit back, enjoy, and keep your wits about you, because it might be very surprising. Here's our good friend, Bob Zanotti. Welcome
to the name game, Mrs. Bob Zanotti. And that little bit of music that you heard at the opening of the program is a definite hint to the location we are at today. I'm standing on the Hauptgasse, which is the main street of our mystery town. And I'm accompanied here by Ruth Kommandov, who is a representative of the local tourist office in our mystery town. Ruth, can you pinpoint our location roughly in terms of region for us?
We are in the eastern part of Switzerland, and it's very rural here, hilly, and the city we are in has 5,000 inhabitants. We have a lot of agriculture, handicrafts, and tourism, and only a little bit of industry.
But some of the industry here is very, very typical and very famous. I think of one product which bears the name of the town we're in, and it's the cheese of this entire region.
It's very spicy, very tasty, quite strong. There's a special dried meat, and there's also a special liquor. The name of the city is also in the name of the liquor.
Kind of herbal mixture, which is a bit sweet and rather good to take before meals or after meals as a digestive or as an aperitif.
It's good as an aperitif, but it's also good if you have problems with your stomach, because it helps.
If we look at the main street, we have beautiful examples of something which has made this town and this region of Switzerland, this half canton, which is another hint, because we're in a half canton that also bears the name of the city we're in, and that is painting the fronts of houses, the facades of houses, with all kinds of beautiful traditional decorations. And we're standing in front of the pharmacy here in the village, which started it all. What is the story?
Well, the houses here in the main street were all brown or gray until 1930. And then one artist decided to paint the facade, and it was the facade of the pharmacy. And he wanted to paint herbal flowers because of the pharmacy. And that was the first facade. And then all the other people in the main street thought, wow, that looks nice. We want to do it also. And that's why all the houses here now are painted.
Something that does go back a lot further, though, is what's called farm painting. And there is a definite old tradition here of painting objects in the house, for example, furniture.
Yes, wardrobes are painted, and there are a lot of things that are painted with peasant art motifs. Scenery from a farm life, especially from farm life, yes, because farmers are very important here.
Ruth, you're going to lead me now to the museum of our town, so we can have a look at some of the folklore and some of the things that are recorded and on display in the museum. But first, we're going to pay a visit to your boss. He's the director of tourism for our mystery town, Willy Reyes. And we'd like to find out from him something about the things that people can do in our mystery town and the area.
Well, it's very, very important here, tourism. There's little industry here. We have no national railway. We have no highways. We are a bit isolated. It's a green land. It's a farm country. So it's really beautiful and peaceful and just the right place to relax. And as you know, farmers tend to preserve culture and folk art traditions and all these things much more than anyone else. And this has been kept alive this way here.
The most important mountain peak, which is a famous one in the neighborhood, it's your local mountain, is the Sentis. And there are mountains surrounding this entire area. There are also hills. It's a mixture of all of this topography. I imagine that this must give you a wide range of possible things to do here, summer and winter.
As a matter of fact, we have all the way from Lake Constance to Mount St. Vincent, these rolling hills, and then you have the rocky part. In other words, from the place we're talking right now, it's on to the north you have the hilly side, and to the south you have the rocky part. So you have a lot of sports. Hiking, of course, mountaineering, paragliding. These are the sports here. And then besides, of course, that people come here for cultural aspects, for folklore, old things, the traditions, of course, the old crafts and arts, you know. All these professors are so very much alive here.
Thank you very much. Well, here we are in the museum in our mystery town, and it's on several stories, and it's very difficult usually to pick out just one or two to look through. But we're starting here in an area which is very, very typical, because it shows musical instruments that are synonymous with this particular part of Switzerland. And we have a bass violin,
This looks like a cello here, is that right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Two violins?
Two violins and a dulcimer.
A dulcimer, which has a local name called a hakbrett.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a kind of zither instrument. And it's very, very typical of this area. Do we know how it got here?
Well, it's possible that it got here from Eastern Europe.
Because there is some speculation about the people who live here, that they may have descended from gypsies or may have come somehow through Hungary, where the zither music is also known, Eastern Europe, as you mentioned, even beyond. Do you think there's anything in that? Has anything been proved so far?
It's possible that people from here came from Eastern Europe, especially if you look at the music. It's very similar to Hungarian music. Also, if you look at the instruments, and the music has very melancholic parts and very jolly parts.
Like the people are, right?
Like the people are, yes, yeah. Exactly.
We have to listen to some of this music featuring the Hochbrett. Exhibition, another part of the museum, or actually in the roof of the museum. And here is a woman, it's a model, of course, a mannequin, sitting down doing embroidery. And embroidery is indeed one of the special crafts of this era. I'd like to ask you something about the costumes, too. What makes them very special is the headdress. And it's typical also of this area. I believe in certain areas of southern Germany you see the same thing, and the Black Forest and other areas in southern Germany. The headdress looks like sort of two fans, two lace fans, which are parallel to each other on either side of the head. And apparently here you can tell the difference between the married women and the single women. What is the difference?
The only difference is really the hat, and you have a garland of myrtle for the women that are not married, and you have a special golden cap and a red silk ribbon for the married women.
And this is what was called the Sunday costume, wasn't it? This was brought out on special occasions.
Mostly for church, so really you don't find it outside the church.
And this is a very strongly Roman Catholic area, we must mention.
Oh, yes. We have two half cantons, and our half canton is mostly Catholic, and the other half canton is mostly Protestant.
That's why they were broken up. You didn't always have an easy time getting along because of the religion.
Yes, but now it's getting better.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Time to go out in the street again, because we're going to visit something else and see another one of the typical craftsmen at work. Well, if you can't identify that sound, it's a chisel and a wood hammer. There's a specialist here, a craftsman, who is whittling away at a large piece of oak. What he's producing here is a coat of arms that looks like something that might be hung on a wall.
Yes, and he's also specialist for all kinds of things. Well, you can order something and he'll manufacture it. He really does everything. He does dulcimers, he does crosses for the cemetery, whatever you want. But wood is very important here, and lots of people work with wood. Wood is warm, wood makes you comfortable, it's cozy, and people here like a warm atmosphere. Here, the grandfather was doing wood carving, the father, and now he's doing it.
Ruth, another sound, another craft.
We are in the house where a coppersmith lives. Now he's 79 years old, and he's doing it for a hobby now.
He's putting the finishing touches on a coffee can.
They're good things for presents. So if you want to give something special made by hand, he can give such a thing made out of copper, and it's really special.
Ruth, we're not at a military shooting range here in our mystery town. This is a sewing machine, a very heavy one.
We are in the atelier of a belt maker, and he's doing belts, very special belts, very typical belts for this area, belts with ornamental cows and pigs and all things like that.
Now we can trace back this very special item right here to this very place in our mystery town. And Abby Fessner is carrying on a tradition of making these belts as well as other leather goods.
I stay now in the seventh generation of this profession here.
That brings us almost to the end of this edition of the Name Game. But just to review a couple of the clues now, we are in northeastern Switzerland. We're in a town whose name is the same as the half canton it's in. We are not too far away from Lake of Constance, from Austria, and from nearby southern Germany. A famous cheese comes from here. Also a dog, which we didn't mention before. It's a breed of dog, which is a very popular breed of dog. There's the name of this place. And I think that that's all the clues that we want to give you now, because we really have had quite a few of them, and it's not that hard to figure out where we are. Ruth, thank you very much for taking us around the mystery town. And maybe it's time to go and have some of that cheese and maybe some of the local wines here.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Now, do you know where that is?
Well, if you do, let us know.
PCJ,
QSL at pcjmedia.com.
And you can also let us know via snail mail. Now, we're going to have another installment of the Name Game next week. So join Bob Zanotti then, as he brings us off to some fascinating place in Switzerland. I'm sure that many of you right now are saying, wait a second, I remember the Name Game many, many years ago. Well, it's amazing how sometimes you keep something in your closet. You know, what's the old saying? If you keep clothes long enough in your closet, eventually they become back in fashion again. So that's what we did with Bob. We just kept him, you know, locked away, and then we just say, okay, Bob, time to come back out again. All right. Anyway, we're going to be leaving you in a moment. Before we go, once again, I want to thank, of course, everyone for listening today. And hopefully you had a very good reception where you are. If you want to find out more about PCJ Radio International and the other programs that we have to offer, do check out our website, which is www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. If you want to listen to another version of the Happy Station Show, the one that we do for our partner stations around the world, you can find that there, as well as other programs like Jazz for the Asking, Focus Asia Pacific, the Stuff File program, the Kelly Alexander Show, and, of course, Media Network Plus. This week, by the way, on Media Network Plus, we're going to be visiting the country of Estonia. And our guest on the program is a listener to the program. So do tune into that, because it's going to be a lot of fun. To end off today, we're going to end with a singer who I happen to like very much. His name is Amir Diab, with a song called El Alam Allah. And I have a feeling that I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but no, I am actually. El Alam Allah. Here's Amir Diab. So until next time, friends, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara. Oh, Just listening to a program from PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to listeners in Southeast and East Asia on 11835 kilohertz. For more information about PCJ Radio International, check us out online at www.pcjmedia.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Absolutely right.
Of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or Saint Mary to Protestants,
Radio
or Our Lady to Irish Catholics.
You're up to
this is PCJ Radio International.
Now moving away from Western religion. There are sacred writings. In Hinduism,
this an is PCJ
poems,
Radio International.
They were written in Sanskrit, and they form actually the basis of the Hindu religion.
This is PCJ Radio International.
The name of these poems, starting with V for very yoga, or starts with V.
I used to know it.
V for violet.
No, I'm
sacred.